Okay, guys, how are you doing today? Good, good. Ready for the memory analysis? Yay. So, guys, if you want to be rewarded with a good food and a couple of other things, it will be definitely nice if you could move a little bit to front. Just a small thing. First of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Paula Januszkiewicz. And if you already know me, welcome back to the session. And if you do not, I think I will need to introduce myself. So what am I doing for a living? At security. And I'm a penetration tester for a company that is called Secure. And where we are based, it's Poland. And of course, New York, which is the place within which we opened our new office, which is, I think, personally kind of cool. We're really enjoying it. I do have access to a source code of Windows, and I'm more, I used to say that I'm the bad person, because I'm kind of like that, but at the very end, I'm a good person, and when I'm playing with security, at the very end, I think the security and so-called hacking must end up with something useful. Because in most cases, we are on the good side than on the bad side. Of course, it's nice to know the bad stuff, but it's nice to also know how to prevent certain situations. What we're going to talk about today, and why this is me standing in front of you talking about that stuff. First of all, as you see by the title, we're going to talk about the memory analysis. We're going to do the memory analysis. We're going to check out what kind of information is actually in the memory. There are two situations that inspired me to prepare this session. One situation, it's actually one person, it's our developer. You will never say he's an evil guy, never. He's like a super nice person, like super nice. He's smiling all the time, very calm, and so on. He's helping people, true. He's advising people on the forums how to prevent malware and how to, of course, solve the problems that are related to malware. If you got the malware and if you write the information on the forum, oh, I got a malware, I have to remove it. He's going to be in place like an open heart. I'm going to be the one that's going to help you. Something is wrong over here, isn't it? Things are not for free, right? Okay, true. So what our developer is doing, of course, not intentionally, it's just happening, is that it's asking people to share with him memory dumps. And this is a kind of interesting situation, because if you share your memory dump, you share whatever is in the memory currently up when you create it. So any kind of passwords, any kind of pictures, the print screen, you can even grab the print screen from the memory dump. Any kind of whatever was launched, like, for example, application connecting to the database. You're going to see, for example, the parameters for the connection. This is actually the case that happened yesterday. I was talking to the developer, and he's like, you know, it happened again. There is this guy that shared with me his full memory dump, and he is working in a company. And you know what I know right now? What is the password to connect to your SQL server? And of course, his password, and there was an opened, that was the funny part, accountants-related application. And he says, you know, so I know how much people earn in this company. I know just like everything. And he doesn't want to know it. He's just a malware analyst, yes? So this is just a tiny case. Whenever you share your memory dump, please, well, A, do not do it if you do not have to. This is the first thing. Second, know what kind of information is in the memory dump, and that's what the session is about. And third, whenever you are sharing memory dump, share the mini dump. That contains the mini information about the certain process. We're going to talk about it. So at the end, you are not really sharing information that you don't want to share. Okay? So my goal for today, it's to not to show you that things in the memory are like super dangerous and you should not share it with anyone, blah, blah, blah. It's totally operating system, it's unsecure. It's not my goal. My goal is to show you what kind of information you can grab. And in the context of the session within that we had yesterday, which was the CSI Windows session, so forensic session, how to investigate what things are running within our operating system, this is the second part. Okay, second story that inspired me, and it's a kind of sad picture, isn't it? It's a kind of story, to be sincere. We got a friend, and this friend is using online dating. I don't want to, of course, ask you, who uses online dating? No, 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 don't worry. So that friend, he made an appointment with a girl. And what appeared? I mean, it's like a movie story. It's like the one that you read in the newspaper. Everybody will mention it like that. Of course, the picture that the girl sent was not real. And the girl appeared to be like 10 years older, 10 pounds more, and so on. Yes, and he was like, you know, I should do a better research. I'm like, so make a video chat first. Like, you know, see this girl. How does she look like? Then you can predict. I mean, do the preparation, do the research. And he's like, yep, that's kind of right. So to avoid disappointment, I'm going to do it. And he did it. And this girl was super cool, and she was really nice, and so on. And he, of course, made an appointment. He was very happy. He came through with the girl, and the same story. Because what appeared is that who was on the phone, on the video call, it was this girl's sister. So what's the conclusion? I mean, at the end, I said, my romanticism is always very low. We should just do the deeper research at the end. And that never hurts. And the same approach is within the memory. As long as we are digging into, we can get into wrong conclusions, get good conclusions. But in general, deeper research, it's definitely within the memory necessary. So what's the agenda for today? First of all, we're going to talk about dumping techniques. How to make a memory dump, what kind of memory dumps we've got, how to divide them, what kind of benefits we can get from the memory dumps. Then we're going to talk about the memory dump analysis. What kind of tools can we grab, what kind of information can we get, and so on. And we're going to play with the live memory analysis. And this is a pretty interesting part, because we're going to change things in the memory on the fly, and then we're going to see how does it work and how to do it. It's actually going to be pretty easy. Couple of things. Today is actually the lunch day of our custom version of Mimikatz. Who knows Mimikatz? Put your hands up. Oh, exactly, like almost everyone. Very good. So, Benjamin, within the courtesy of Benjamin, for us, Benjamin provided us the version, the custom version of Mimikatz that's going to be launched today. If you are following the Twitter, then you will see that it's announcing it today within this session. And this is the first thing. Second is that Michael, our developer, he definitely has his own input into the what is going on within the Mimikatz. And I'm sincerely really proud to show it to you, because it's a cool thing. We're going to launch some things within the memory without touching the disk. And hopefully, everything's going to be as planned. As usual, we're going to kick with a tiny demo. Hidden process crouching handle. So what's that? First of all, this curtain perspective. I mean, if you've got a cat, you know what I'm talking about. I think it's the play that you can have. I don't have a kid. With the kids up to like 5 years old, like, nobody can see me, nobody can see me. It's the same. What's my point? My point is that whenever we have the virtual machine, let's jump to the virtual machine. I do have here, whatever, Windows 7 running. And I do have here this tiny process. It's called malware.exe. It's just a process. What I'm going to do, I'm going to change the one tiny thing within this process. That mechanism, it's called active process links. Active process links, it's a mechanism that I was talking about in 2010, I think it was in Atlanta, or 2011, something like that. And I was really discussing what is going on. So for the reference, of course, channel 9, there is a recording for the session. But my idea over here is that active process link mechanism, it's very simple. Just to make a reference what is going on. Let's say I'm malware.exe, and there is one process, and there's another process. And active process link mechanism is the one that allows us to list processes in operating system. I mean, it's so cool that whenever we open Task Manager, you got your processes straight away. I mean, how? Like, there must be some receptionist. Like, oh, yeah, this is the list. These are the people that are at work today. And if you, this is the process A, process B, I'm malware, and if you put yourself in the back as a malware, and this process will be indicating to this and this to this, you are no longer on the list. you know what's funny? Is that this is the cheating mechanism, like hiding mechanism that is used by malware. Active process links. It's unbelievable, like hiding, I'm hiding. Well, it's exactly like the cat. As long as we are able to find it and we know that there is a mechanism like that, what kind of hiding we are talking about? So, what I will do, I do have debugger launched in the back. So this is malware.exe, 2400, this is the process ID that I've got. So I'm gonna break within the debugger. So I'm debugging this machine from the back. If you want, this list is within our tools website. So if you, I will show the link at the end of the session as well. You can grab the whole list of commands. So I'm gonna do this tiny switch. Bang, bang, go. And that tiny malware, it's no longer on the list. You see? It's just gone. I mean, somebody entered the building without signing on the attendance list. So this is the simple case. The question is how we are able to find such stuff. So first of all, there is this tiny mechanism, client-server runtime subsystem. And client-server runtime subsystem is the mechanism that is the process that is managing the other processes in operating system. So if there is someone that knows, that's going to be definitely this guy. And a tiny thing, if you will browse through handles, so let me connect to my tools, so media, insert disk, and here I got my tools. If we will check out what kind of handles we've got to the process, to that particular process, let me run it as administrator, it will be so much better. This is a new box that I've got. We can, within the, let's say, process explorer, go to view, lower pane view, and then DLLs or handles, let's say handles. And if I go to the client server runtime subsystem, we can check out, and sorry for the view, unfortunately, I need to search for the certain place. We will search for the handle. It's gonna be in the other one. One is for the users, one is for a system. So here we go. For that particular process. Ah, here we go. You see, I'm gonna alert it. There is this non-existent process on the list. Isn't like a cat behind the curtain a little bit? Of course. It's like nobody can see me, but my process ID is 2400. Kill 2400. Well, of course, it's not that simple, yes, because we need to check out what is dead and so on and so on. But these things are running, and they are running within the memory. If, for example, you make a memory dump, within the tool, I'm going to, of course, show this demo at the beginning, and then we're going to dig into the tool. That tiny tool, it's called volatility. And volatility allows us for two operations at the beginning. Let's make it easy. First of all, I made the memory dump of the machine. How to make it? We are digging in a moment. But I just want to show you that whenever things are in the memory, and I mentioned it on the last session as well. This is like a live guiding sentence for me. Wherever it runs, it's in the memory. Whatever runs, it's in the memory. Period. And then, whenever, of course, you do the analysis that is deep enough, then you're going to find things. First of all, volatility, there are two versions. One is using Python, another one is the executable. If I could recommend something, Python is a little bit better because it's to be customized. And whenever there are updates coming, they're first coming to Python. Just a good advice. And executable is coming later. So Python is better. Here, what I'm just launching the dump, and then I'm using the profile, and this was Windows 7, and then I'm using pslist to list the processes. And that process name that I would like to show you, it's called malware.exe. And these are the processes' names. So maybe let me go up. And we do not see malware.exe on the list at all. We do not, because it is hiding. But I did already this scan pre-session, because it's unfortunately running for some time. Instead of pslist, I use the pscan option. And pscan option is this lady that when you forgot to sign up on the list at work in the morning, she's going to be coming to the every room, opening the doors, like, is John over here? Everybody's, no, okay. Is John over here? No. And after a couple of hours, very nice job, then she will be, of course, able to find John that did not sign up for the list. And over here, if you have a look, not perfectly, but it's going to be there, there is this tiny malware.exe that we've got. You see here? Here we go. So there is a difference in the searches. And this is what this session is about these tiny things that you can find in the memory that hopefully you will find useful. This bit is different from the one that I've got right now, so 2400, because this is a dump that I made earlier. Yes? And that's why. If I made a dump and so on, we will be not here out from this room within 1 hour. Yes? So that's why. Okay. So let's begin. The purpose of the memory dump, there are a couple. First of all, to search for the malware, of course, to search for the problems. Second, to search for the problems that are related within applications. Sometimes it happens that certain application, just something is wrong with it. It's hanging, whatever. There's a couple of approaches that we can take. One approach, it's an XPerf. And XPerf is a fantastic tool that I was talking about yesterday. If you weren't on my session, check out XPerf. It is a part of the WPA package, so Windows Performance Analyzer. And XPerf allows you to dig to the bones of the operating system. It's not perfect in some areas, but I mean, it's so great that this not perfect thing we should not even mention. So, the second thing is to make a memory dump and to analyze it. And of course, whenever there is a problem with an application, if you make the memory dump of the certain process, then developer, or if you are on the IT pro side as well, can dig in and find what is wrong with a certain app. Remember about one tiny thing, is that whenever you are sharing any kind of memory dump, you are sharing a lot of your privacy. Like, a lot of your privacy. Everything that is important to you that you've got open right now on your laptop is going to be shared with someone else. So what we will be playing with is, of course, making these dumps, but please do not store them like on a USB stick somewhere and so on, because if someone steals it, then we'll be gone. Okay, so what kind of memory dumps we've got? First of all, I divided the memory dumps into two parts. One is the process dump, so it's a definitely user mode dump. And there's a couple of techniques that I would like to show you how to make such dumps. And the second type of dump, it's the system memory dump. And the tools that you've got, for example, WinDBD, so debugging tools for Windows, but WinDD, MemDD, Dumpit, these tools are making full memory dump from the kernel space as well. Dumpit is actually a pretty cool tool. It's written by Matthew Seuss. And it's free in general, but if you want to make a dump for the Windows 8.1 64-bit, then you need to pay $190 for it. So it's not much, and I think it's worth it. And sorry, I'm just bad at marketing. I just really think it's worth it. Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, how to make a dump within the Process Explorer or Process Hacker. So it's very easy. Very, very easy. Whenever a developer, for example, asks you, could you please make a dump of the certain application? You're like, yeah, perfect. Right click, and then you just make a dump, create a dump file over here, and then you just save it somewhere. So you see, this is a DMP file. So this is just a tiny thing how we are able to make a dump within the user mode, from the application perspective. The same thing we can do, of course, with our favorite task manager, even though there's a lot of people that do not really like it, but still, you can, for example, select any kind of process and then create a dump file. Within that dump file, if the application is, for example, connecting somewhere to SQL Server and so on, you're going to find out clear text username and password, most probably. So if, for example, your user is running some certain application, hopefully, of course, it's not an SA account or something like that. Anyway, my point here is as well show you something useful within the memory dump creation. I do have a tiny application running, and I'm going to use the prods dump for that. And just a tiny app I need to, of course, start. And this is an application that is doing the memory leak. So kind of nasty. And let me launch it. Memory leak. Perfect. And that's certain application. We can, of course, monitor. And particularly, this application is going to leak within the virtual bytes. Well, both here, virtual bytes and the private bytes are running. So the virtual memory and the private bytes, so the so-called physical memory. There is not a direct mapping for that, but it's more or less the same. So what I'm going to do, first of all, this is this leaky app, and I'm going to run the proc dump, so the process dump, within the certain conditions. And that condition is if my virtual bytes reach around 500 megabytes, then make a dump. So if you do have a misbehaving application, it's actually a really nice place to dig in. First of all, I need to check out the process ID of the leaky app. And the process ID of the leaky app, if you want, of course, I can give it to you, but there's no use, I think. 9668, as long as you don't really like someone, then no use. 9668. So let me put it here. 9688. Was it like that? Sorry. Six. Oh my God. Paula. Isn't it blonde thing? 668. Okay. Okay. Now it's better. So we are waiting for the application to start leaking the memory. Of course, I can launch it, memory leak. And after some time, we will be able to dump that certain application and verify what really caused that. Of course, in the back, what we can do, for example, within the Process Hacker, we can find out that leaky app, or Process Explorer, it's similar. And here, you see that the virtual bytes, so virtual size, it's actually going up. So we are overusing the memory, we're addressing a little bit too much, we're not freeing it up, and after it reaches around 500 megabytes, we are monitoring it for 10 seconds, and then we are making a dump. So you see, there is a dump made, so I'm going to take this out, and then we are able to, of course, analyze as a developer what is going on. Very simple, very, very simple. How to do it from the system perspective, because I mean this is just a process dump. If you would like to make a memory dump of the system, there's of course, as I said, a couple of tools to be playing with, but I'm gonna run the application that it's called, of course, Dumpit. And Dumpit, I mean sincerely, it could not be easier. So let me go to my tools. Here we go. And let me go to Dumpit, bunk. So I'm right now on the D drive. And of course, if you are making the memory dump, make sure that you dump it, that you launch, it's launched from the external drive. Because otherwise, dump it's going to save the information on the drive that you are in right now. So just a tiny thing. Yes, if you are doing the post-attack analysis, overwriting your drive with the memory dump, it's a really bad idea. Okay, so dump it works like this. First of all, I've got, the UAC prompt. It installs the driver, and that particular driver will be doing the full memory dump of the whole operating system. And here you see the physical memory news, how much, and so on, so the whole summary. And the only thing I need to do is yes. And memory dump is created. I mean, friendliness is there. So this is just a tiny comment. And these dumps, this is how I made my dumps. Operating, this is when you ask the question, like process ID is different. Yes, I was playing with a dump. That's how I made my dump. Dumpit was the tool to play with this. And here, you've got a website. Okay, Dumpit is a popular tool, so you're going to find it without any problems. Some of the tools, forensics tools, memory analysis tools, what they do dumps within the different formats. Sometimes it's DMP, like Dumpit, sometimes it's bin, and so on. So here, you do have also converters in a package. And we will need that converter later. Of course, I converted already the memory dump. It takes a moment, but still. Hyperfile.sys, also. Pagefile.sys, it can be also dumped, and it is also dumped within that memory dump. Okay, so let me dig in. What kind of stuff we need to discuss about? So, whenever we are thinking about any kind of analysis, please remember that whenever you are doing the dumps that are within the certain process type, so for example, 32-bit process type, 32-bit process, then you need to do the dump, and it will be the best if you did it with the 32-bit application. So you can run Task Manager as 32 bits, you can run certain software as 32 bits, and then from that, make a dump. So just a good advice, because later on, it's not always like that, but later on, you may have some tiny problems with analysis. Okay. Let me check one thing. Good. So, whenever we are thinking about the techniques, just to summarize, we discuss the prods dump, we discuss the dump it. You can, of course, make a dump also with the debugger. There is this dot dump command. And there are also some other tools to be playing with. So it's actually pretty easy to make it. So just begin in the internet and search for such. But what I recommend is the one that I'm particularly using. Okay, guys. So the memory dump analysis. What kind of stuff we've got and what we are searching for. Whenever you do have a memory dump, we already said that there are processes, and this is what I showed you at the very beginning. The processes, we've got also the handles, and we've got also a couple of other objects like modules and so on. Why do we care? Well, the malware analysis, it's not an easy process. It's actually a very difficult process because we don't know what we are searching for. We're searching for something that stands out from the standard. I would like to show you later on a couple of tools that are playing with that. Playing with certain strings within the memory, and based on that, we are able to find out what kind of malware we've got right now. But in general, this process is difficult. Sometimes, of course, if you want to bring coolness to the field, there is Mimikatz that can bring the clear text passwords from the memory dump. We've got strings. Strings, it's a very simple tool that you can take the memory dump and take the strings out of the memory dump. What are strings? Strings are the found in the memory dump alphanumeric three-character strings that you can read. Sometimes they're cool, sometimes it's a complete trash. Very often what you can see is the project path when the developer was, for example, compiling the code. In the Stuxnet case, it was pretty interesting. My team was engaged in Stuxnet analysis. There was the B drive, and there was a Guava. There was the path to guava.pdb, the symbol file, to something that we supposed to think is a fruit. I'm saying this because you never know. Anyway, whenever we are searching for such issues, one of the really nice places to look at is handle. As you saw, we already did that. Whenever we are playing with handles, what are handles? Well, handle in general, it's like a handshake. Handle it's like a handshake to something that we've got as an object type within the operating system. We can have a handle within the process, for example, to some file. Outlook, we will have a handle to the file that is, for example, OST or PST. Just bringing the very simple example to the field. So whenever there is a handle to something, it means that process is using this certain resource. And whenever we are thinking about handles, of course, sometimes it happens that certain process has a really interesting handle used, and that handle is going to be the mutex. It's the way how threads are synchronizing within each other, how they're sharing resources. And within that, a little bit deeper analysis, that could be a pretty interesting trace, of course, whenever we are searching for anything that stands out from the standard. Hidden processes. As you saw, we were able to find it by handle. Because in the client-server runtime subsystem, there was a handle open to the certain process that we got. It can be also open to thread, process, file, and so on. And based on that, we were able to find something that was hidden. Okay. So whenever we are thinking about the small analysis, let's have a look, and there's going to be a pretty long demo, what kind of things we can grab out by using handles. Here comes the story. Recently, I was engaged in the project that I literally mentioned, like a little bit mentioned yesterday. This was a project about administrator within the factory doing a tiny internal sabotage. And the company was losing money and so on, so very sad story. And what we were doing, of course, we did a dump of his machine and so on, so this drive dump, the memory dump, and so on, and we were supposed to analyze it. There was a couple of things that were interesting found, but one of the interesting things that we were having a look at are the event logs. The question is, can you bring out the event logs from the memory of the certain computers? We were a little bit suspicious that this guy was deleting these logs. So that's why we could not find any kind of information. I mean, the event that was the starting event, it was like 3 days ago. So, of course, he deleted that. But the question was, could we by having his workstation dig into the memory dumps, to dig into the memory dump and find out if, of course, we are able to pull the locks out of it. And the answer is, of course, yes. So first of all, let me bring the console out over here. And let me do a small analysis of the memory dump that I did on one of the stations. What I will do, and I'm going to use the volatility tool. Volatility is a free tool. This is one of the tools for the memory analysis, one of the best tools, to be sincere, and one of the few tools within the market. I'm going to analyze another dump that I made within the machine. And what I will do, I'm going to use the, as you see, it's actually pretty simple because it's here I'm specifying volatility minus F to specify the file, profile, and I'm specifying the profile, and then dump files. And then I'm specifying that what I should do, I should use a certain process ID to be able to, of course, dump the files from the certain process ID, and then dump it to the folder. But before I do it, just a tiny, tiny thing. I'm going to open another prompt, and I will show you where this process ID comes from. So first of all, let me go to the Python that I've got. Oh, sorry, I just put it like this, too much. P, folders, scripts, and here I got volatility. And what I will do, of course, I will specify the file as well, so tools and dumps, dumps folder. Here we go, and then analyze, and then I'm going to go to the profile, and then I will do equals Windows 7, because it was a Windows 7, SP0. It doesn't mean that there is no service pack. It's just a profile that I'm using for scanning. And then what I will do, I'm going to list the DLLs list. The reason why I will search for the DLLs list is because I would need to search for the process for the hoster of the event lock. And it's actually a pretty interesting thing. Event lock service, it's actually a DLL. And who is the hoster of it? It's the SVC host. So what I need to search for is, oh, show me all of the processes and all of the DLLs, and I'm going to search for the DLL within the process, and based on that, I will know that SVC host is the one that was actually hosting the event log. And then I'm going to ask event log, give me all the stuff that you've got. And give me all the files that you've got handles to, which is going to be event logs. Very logical. So let's begin. First of all, I will do DLL list. And then I'm going to stream it, let's say, to the text file, dll-list.txt. And it takes a small moment, like really small moment, because it goes through all of the processes that were running. Test. Okay, sorry. Oh. That's just in case you were falling asleep. Okay, so we've got this DLL list up and running. Very good. And over here, what I will search for, so this is, as you see, all of the process IDs. I will search for the EVT. And then I'm going to search for the DLL, so this one, SVC. And this is the one that is hosting the event logging. Very good. So let's begin. Over here, I get a process ID 848. And this is nothing but SVC host. So who knows where are the log files? Process 848. Yes? How do I know it? Well, that's the point. Sometimes we need to dig in. We need to think like, event logging, what is this about? And unfortunately, it is through SVC host. It's just a hoster for the DLL. So 848. That's why I've got it over here, 848. And what I'm doing right now, I'm dumping the files that are handles. So this is just a folder, this is just a directory that are handles within this DLL. So within this process, sorry, not this DLL, of course, within this process. And I'm going to have, of course, everything over here. It takes a moment. But as you see, the logs are coming. Yes? And in a moment, I'm going to have a look, like what kind of course, logs we've got inside. So let's dig in. Very good. And that, unfortunately, takes a moment, but we can see that these are actually the files that are created. So I'm going to go to the folder and display that, because I will need to go there anyway to copy all the files. Mm-hmm. So there is. It's not only, of course, the event logs. It's also some DLLs and so on. So file handles over here shows me everything that I've just dumped from the memory. Of course, we could change an extension, but forget it. Yesterday on the session, I showed that the EVTX Ether, the tool that is deleting the single entries from the event log, it is a hell lot of research. If you change an extension just like that, it will be not a legit EVTX. So what we need to do is to interpret it. So our fantastic developer wrote an interpreter for these files. And what will happen is that I'm going to take all of these files. I'm already done with the scanning, so I'm going to just Control-A, Control-C. And I'm going to copy them. On the desktop, I got a tehet folder. And over here, I got a tool, EVTX recovery. And I'm going to do a new folder. It's going to be called in. And in this folder, I'm going to paste all of the files. Very good. And I'm going to also create a new folder. It's going to be out. Not a surprise. And EVTX recovery is going to be, I should have it somewhere here. You should be able to, of course, interpret all these log files. So EVTX recovery, it's a tiny tool. Of course, I can share it with you if you want. It's for the particular scenario, of course. And then it takes two parameters, in, and then out. Not a very romantic parameters, but whatever. Okay. And we are extracting the log files. And now we'll be able to see exactly what is going on inside. So we can, of course, check out and sort out, and this is out, all the log files that we have here by the size. And let's say we've got the Windows Update client operational. If I double-click on it, it opens very nicely in the event viewer. Yes? So just a tiny thing. Don't get me wrong. This tiny part, it's not an easy thing, but this shows what is in the memory, even this. Not to mention passwords. Passwords we are getting to, okay? It's easy. To grab the password is easy. Okay. Good. So the second thing that I would like to show you, using the volatility tool, it's actually the history of certain actions. So within here, what I'm going to do, I'm going to use maybe, could be this dump, but I'm going to use here another dump. It's called Pula dump. It's just a tiny dump. And of course, I'm going to again specify the profile. Unfortunately, volatility, the Windows 8 analysis is coming. Excuse me. So we need to wait for the moment, but it's coming. So here, SP0, and then X64. And then I'm going to use a certain parameters. And it's actually, the analysis is really simple. And that parameters is going to show me the history of the commands that were executed on a certain box. If you were under attack, that might be quite useful. So CMD scan allows me to scan the history of what was done through the CMD. And in a moment, it takes a moment, unfortunately, to be very patient. Either you smoke cigarettes, either you, it's going to be like, because unfortunately, it takes sometimes time. But it's going to come in a moment. A CMD scan will show me, of course, what was executed. As you see, there was someone using Mimikatz on the certain box. He even made a typo. Yes? So this person probably knows my password, because secure LSA logon password switch allows to see the password and extract it from the memory from the LSA LSASS process. So what we're going to do? Question is, did really the person saw my password? You see that we've got here off CMD, someone was trying to launch some scripts, netstat, ncpacpl, changing the network settings, and so on. So maybe just let me put Control-C. The second one, consoles. I say consoles because it's like with the Spanish flavor. Not consoles, consoles, yay. that will show me what the person saw. So it's an effect of the CMD commands. And if I'm wondering, did this person really saw my password? The answer is, well, we will see. Probably yes, because this is what was executed on a certain system. And thanks to that, we'll be able, of course, to put some certain actions. And of course, this will come in a moment. Couple of more things. If you would like to scan for certain DLLs loaded within the process, you see that it is possible. If you would like to, for example, scan certain services, if you would like to scan network connections, no problem. Who was establishing connection where? No problem. Everything is there. If you would like to scan for the history, what was executed, like registry is loaded. And registry contains that all. We were talking about it yesterday. Yes, the run history, the most recently used, and that kind of stuff. It's going to be there. So, as you see here, this person saw Paula's password. It wasn't very complex. But this kind of stuff, the effects of CMD working, you can find also in the memory. Everything. Okay, guys, making day long, and this is dump it, because I made a memory dump. Yeah, so even that. Okay, making the long story short, I would like to show you, of course, because, I mean, I know that you want password. I just kind of feel it inside. I would like to show you tiny, tiny thing. If you do make a memory dump of the process, that is called local security authority subsystem. So basically, you can go even to task manager and then search for local security authority subsystem, right-click, create a dump file. I already did that. Then you can take this dump file and load it within the WinDBG. Let me show you how to do it. First of all, I'm going to go quickly to my tools, and I'm going to open the dump file that I've got created over here. So it is here, bank. I got the demo ELSAS done. And this tiny thing, it is, so the fact that I right-click and I can open stuff within the debugger, it's within the courtesy of Andrew that is sitting over here, Andrew Richards. Within the defrag tools, it's a fantastic show. Don't get me wrong, Randy. I really think it's fantastic. It's not just because you're sitting here, okay? this is here. This is a fantastic show. Defrag tools within which you can become familiar with Windows internals, like really, really. And if you enter the defrag tools Channel 9 website, there's a tiny link that is going to Andrew's Skype OneDrive. Excuse me. All these politics. And you will be able, of course, to add some shortcuts so that you are able to open it within the debugger. So this is really nice. Okay, guys, so let's begin. Tiny Mimikatz show. First of all, I'm going to load MimiLib. I'm going to enlarge it. This is the library that will allow me to grab the passwords from the dump bank. And then the usage could not be simpler. !! Mimikatz. And then you grab the password off from the memory purely here. You see? It's the same. You make it up. What I'm saying, and don't get me wrong, I'm on the good side, but if you are doing the pen test and you were like, will the antivirus recognize my Mimikatz? Do not bother. Go there, make a memory dump, take it out, analyze it on your own box when things will not be screaming. Yes? So, you know. But still, I'm going to think about the cute kittens now. Okay, so let me take it out, and let's dig in into the memory analysis of a certain cases. So there is a very nice toolkit. This tiny toolkit is called Yara. Let me clear up my view. And Yara, we type it like this, not VRC, but Yara. Yara, it is a free toolkit that is used by the malware analysts to define certain string types within the memory dumps. For example, you've got findstr tool, yes? It is to find strings within the text files, for example. Can you bring some regular expressions inside? No, it's very simple. What about if there is this word that is in the memory dump three times, then display me a certain message. Can you do this with the find string? Probably not. So Yara, it's a tool that you can use for the memory analysis under certain patterns. And Yara uses Yara rules. So first of all, let me show the... I'm going to launch Notepad. And then I got here the memory dump of Zeus. Zeus was a piece of malware that was running and pretty popular some time ago. There's, of course, a lot of dumps, a lot of memory dumps that you can find out as a sample analysis. If you search for Zeus, VMEM, sample memory dump, you're going to find it. Yes, and you can make your own analysis for Zeus. Very cool. So, but I would like to show you the rule that I've got. And this is the rule that I've created. And there's a certain characteristics that you can find within the memory dump that are indicating that Zeus is there. For example, we've got created mutex with this certain name. For example, we've got also a couple of other things. We're using pipe for communication with a certain name. I mean, everything has its own name. If you name it, if you name things like 123 ABC and it doesn't really look malicious, it is malicious under certain conditions because we don't know what this mutex is about, for example. We don't know that such thing. It's not Microsoft operating systems. So this is something, and this tiny rule, and here we've got the dropper names that whenever there's going to be within the memory, we're going to get the information that things are here. And the demo, it's not really breathtaking. But against these rules, I'm going to use Yara, and I'm going to use the rule, so the Zeus Yar, and I'm going to run it against the Zeus memory dump. And at the end, after some time, I got these rules displayed because of the logic. If the mutex name is like this, if the dropper's name is like this, tell me. Simple. And this is, of course, ready. Somebody did that. So this might be helpful if you are thinking, do I have something? Maybe I should do the memory dump and run the rules against my memory dump and verify it. Have a look. Very good. Very good. And within the internet, you can find the really nice instruction about, of course, how to use Yara. And that tiny instruction, let me show you, it is 27 pages. How to write the logic. And also, what I was planning to show you, is that a lot of malware analysis, of course, that is currently, has been done. So if you want to practice with writing Yara rules, then you just use the current analysis. Yes? So this is, if you're like, oh, this is new for me, no problem. Dig in. Find. Things are ready for you. Just two memory dump rule. That's it. Okay, guys. So this is just a tiny, tiny comment over here. And everything that I'm showing, so the Yara particularly, it's a free tool, so you don't have to pay for it, and you just download it and you just use it. So very, very simple approach. Okay, guys. Another idea that I would like to show you, and this is the last one that is related to the memory dump analysis, is something that is called Passware. And Passware Kit Forensic, it's a tiny toolkit, very good one. This one is unfortunately not for free, but it does a really nice job. And it's really nice to talk about that one as well. It allows you to grab the 38-digit recovery password from the memory whenever you are using BitLocker. Don't get me wrong, BitLocker is fine. But whatever works, it's in the memory. How else you are able to read the information if not just use something and get access to the drive? There's a driver. It's called fvevol.sys. And that particular driver takes that particular key, 38-digit recovery password, and uses it to access the drive. Simple. Okay. So let's have a look. Analyze memory and decrypt the hard disk. Could not be easier. Like, press the button. Press next. Hug the computer. Next. Okay. So what do I have over here? Two things. First of all, I made I created the VHD disk within the machine, just a virtual machine's disk, and I made a dump of it. Virtual machine was BitLockered. And the question is, are we able to grab the password from the memory? If you do have a FireWire enabled, then direct memory access is, of course, possible. If you are interested how to do it, of course, I'll be talking about it. Our session is not really about that. There is a tool that is called Inception, like a movie. And Inception allows you to, if you connect FireWire to FireWire, dump the memory of the other computer. And then you are able to boot up from the disk and make a disk dump. And then you are like, yeah, run away. That's a Polish approach. Any Polaks in the room? Yeah, oh, sorry. Love you. Okay, let's begin. So we do have this memory dump made. You see there is a bin format. It's a little bit different. So I click just next, and then we wait. So we are calculating, and then it should take approximately couple of, as you see, 1 minute, 22 seconds. So after that, what we will be able to do, it's going to extract the 38-digit recovery password and then verify if it works against the disk, and then we do have somebody's laptop. Yeah, so just a tiny positive comment regarding the memory dumps. The tool is actually pretty funny because when it gets to the end, it's like it's like a little bit like Microsoft time. Yes? You're never sure. It's like 53 seconds, 52, and then it's going to be 53, 54, 52, 51. It's like, okay, oh my God, can I drink a coffee or no? So, let's see. Okay, guys. So we are waiting for this. But the second thing that I would like to show you is actually the live analysis of the memory. And there's going to be this version that we are, as I said, at the courtesy of Benjamin, given with a new option that is amazing, because what I will be doing is dumping certificates from the remote machine, from the memory of the remote machine, without touching even the disk drive. I will just stream them out. So I'm really, really happy to show you this. And you see? You're going to see. Yes. If I say that it's a Russian tool, it will be very politically incorrect. It's like, hey, we got it. Surprise. Very good. So we've got here the 38-digit encryption key. Yes? So that kind of stuff as well, it's as well in a memory. If someone's disk is encrypted, well, don't share your memory dump. This is the lesson learned after all these things, I hope. Okay, guys. So next section that we've got, it is basically about playing with the online memory analysis, so the live memory analysis. And we're going to discuss the certificates. And I call the demo procedures not to be certified because it's not a very positive demo. It's more like a negative, you know? But of course, we will be discussing also the protection methods. So first of all, what I would do, I'm going to bring to the field two machines. Machine number one, that's going to be 2012 domain controller. Here we go. And over here, we do have a couple of certificates installed, certmgr.msc. And I'm going to open up the console and show you that we do have over here, so pull up, come on, two types, of course, of certificates. One is going to be within the personal certificates of users, I get two. And both are, of course, with the private key. The tiny thing and really cool thing is that if you would like to export that certificate, I cannot export the private key because it's marked as not exportable. Okay, let's believe it. Okay, let me go further. What I will do, I'm going to launch the machine, so the second box. It's a Windows 8.1 client. And that tiny box, of course, it's set up to get these certificates out of the memory. What is needed is the WinRM. WinRM quick config, that's what I did, yes? So that demo assumes that hacker already get into infrastructure, and now it's time to do some work. What you could do with the private key, of course, for the SSL certificate, because this is what we are grabbing, we are able to decrypt the traffic. So if someone is establishing a connection, then you will be able, because we will get the keys, we are able to do that. If you will be interested, of course, I can show it next year within the next TechEd, because this is like a new thing, like really, really fresh. Okay, so invoke Mimikatz computer name against the domain controller, dump certificates. Let's launch it. And of course, how it works, I'm going to tell you in a moment. So right now, it is dumping the certificates. Any moment, we should, if everything works correctly, see the list of the certificates that are taken from the memory of the remote box. This is Windows 8 client, and we are doing this to 2012 server. Let me check one more thing, because it takes a moment. That's what I'm sure about. Okay, that should be great. Am I launching it? I think I am. Let's see. Come on. Anyway, let's wait, because I'm sure it's going to work, because I tested it many times. In the meantime, let me explain maybe what is going on underneath. Can I like type it something? Oh, launch it. Oh, now it's launched. Okay, so that's better. If you turn on things, that's going to be better always. Okay, so the Mimikatz at the very end, I mean, you probably is like, oh my god, this script is 2,700 lines, yes? This is our part. So what is this code about? It is the pre-compiled custom version of Mimikatz that's going to be streamed to the memory of the other host and executed over there. And that tiny code, what's going to happen, is going to dump all of the secrets, particularly certificates, and bring them back to me to the console. The command that we are executing is, of course, the privilege debug, crypto CNG, crypto API, and then this base 64 is the one that will be announced after this session. So if you check out, Benjamin will be writing about it. Okay, let's have a look how does it work within the certificates. Oh, we've got them, what a surprise. So if we go to the certs folder, and I'm not touching for now the machine, here you've got, of course, all of the certificates. And this logo, this tiny logo within the key, it means that there is probably a private key attached. I'm saying probably because it's not perfect yet, but there's a big chance that it's actually like that. So here, remember, I was within the current user administrator, and there was a contoso.com without the exportable key. So what I will do, I'm going to take this tiny guy, so copy, and then in a moment, I'm going to dig in to another tool. So let me put it over here, and I'm going to go to tools. Let me do it over here, and I'm going to paste this certificate, and let me go open up the tools command. Here we go. So this is the one that we've got. And what I will play with, it's the OpenSSL, not this one, but OpenSSL tool. And within this tool, I'm going to export the key from that certain certificate. So first of all, of course, I need to specify the specification, CS, and then it's 12. And then the default password for exporting, Benjamin set it up to Mimikatz. What a surprise again. And then what I will do, I will specify the input, and that's going to be the certificate that we copied from here. So there's this cert, and there's this contoso.com with PFX, means with the potentially exportable private key. So next command that I've got is the CL certs, and then nodes. Bank, oh, what's that? Let me see. I think I made some typo somewhere. Let's see. Password Mimikatz in, this is correct, CL certs nodes. I made it, I think. Nodes, it's correct. Let me see. You see something that I don't see? PFX, let me see. Okay, what's that's going to be? Because we've got a password, we got it. Okay, oh, I got it. I think I know what's the problem. So we've got nodes, oh, very good. I'm missing one parameter, sorry. And then it's a password, and then it's pass Mimikatz, like this, sorry. Unfortunately, it's not really about any kind of logic. You need to know what to put so that we are able to export it, because it's a new thing. And now it should be better? No, not yet? What's this? Come on, password. Search folder. Oh, no, no, it will be not in the search folder, because I got it in the same folder. So I got this certificate over here, because I copied it up, copied it over here. So let's see. Open SSL, we've got it, password, pass, Mimikatz in. We've got the certificate that we are giving. CL certs. Yay, guys, you are amazing. Thank you. Who said certs? I will not, oh, maybe I can try it. Yay, thanks. Of course, that makes sense. Okay, thank you. CL certs. and then it should be fine. Yay, we got it. Perfect. So this is the private key that we've got. And this is something that we can use, of course, for the decryption. One more thing. Because if you are wondering how to discover that on the server side, because this is a pretty interesting thing. Like, is this really that someone just jumps in and make a mess and goes away? No, not really. It would be nice to establish some kind of monitoring. And what I will do on the server level, so let me take all this stuff out. On the server level, I will establish the monitoring with a Logman tool. And Logman is pretty amazing, and it's a built-in tool within Windows that allows us to establish a monitoring session through ETW, event tracing for Windows, and allows us to totally grab something that is within, of course, certain area that we are monitoring. First of all, let me launch the CMD first. Very good. And within the CMD, I'm going to specify, let me move to the root. First of all, Logman. And if you don't know about Logman, it's definitely nice to have a look. You can run, as I said, the e-tracing session. This is the first thing. Second thing, you can also monitor performance within Windows. First of all, what I will specify is the Logman start. And I'm going to do the at the beginning, I'm going to just name the trace. So let's say WinRM trace, whatever it could be, because it's a WinRM that we are using to connect to. And then I'm going to specify the provider. The name of the provider is Microsoft Windows WinRM. And that provider, we're going to put it to output WinRM trace ETL. ETL, it's an event trace log. It's a typical format for that kind of operations. And then I'm going to specify some parameters. First of all, to leave the session open so I'm able to stop it, for example. And then I'm going to specify the buffer sizes and 256, let's say 256, so the minimum and maximum. And then I'm going to also specify some, I would say, safety parameters. I'll show you in a moment what does it mean to be able to make a trace correctly. And then let's say max 256. I will explain it in a second. So what we are doing over here is that we are storing the trace within the provider that is called WinRM. We are saving the output to the ETL file. And then the buffers, I need them how the data is going to be saved. So it's just for the, to keep the whole monitoring a little bit better. And first of all, I'm going to start the session. Then what I will do on the machine size, so the Windows 8 client, I'm going to start the attack one more time. So here we go. I'm going to clean out the certs because we don't need them. And I'm going to launch it one more time. And the question is going to be how we are able to spot it. So we are dumping the certs one more time. Let's do it. And then after this is done, we'll be stopping the sessions. And here, Logman, and then we need to stop the session, WinRM trace, because this was the name, and then ETS. And then it will create us this WinRM trace ETL file. Was the problematic situation, I'm going to go to XPerf and XPerf view. This WinRM trace, it is on the C drive, WinRM trace, hey. This is something that unfortunately does not have a good provider, good analyzer working. We are not able to analyze events. If we open it up within the XPerf view, so yeah, I want to run it as an unelevated. And here, the reason why I'm using the older version is because I like it more. It's a kind of old school and a little bit hardcore-ish. I mean, I like to struggle with life sometimes. And if I display the summary table over here, I do have this request handling provider messages. And the problem is that these messages are divided into chunks. And this is what we captured on the server level. It's like, how come this is okay? How come that we're able to grab some information from here? If we have a look deeper, these are the chunked portion of some base64 potentially looks like information. And for that, we do not have an interpreter. So the thing is that, of course, we can still get into information like from what kind of IP address the communication was coming and that kind of stuff. But if it's about digging into what this is, Not really. That's why we wrote our own. And just to be able to monitor what is going on underneath, because things are never touching the disk on the server level. So it's purely in the memory. So what we will be able to do is, again, to launch the monitoring. And there is a tool that we wrote. Let me go to the full screen mode one more time. It's called WinRM ETW. And within here, WinRM ETW, let me go to the tool. It is on the C drive, so I need to go back. And oh, so, of course, WinRM ETW. I will analyze and export these documents, because these are the SOAP documents from the trace. And let me do it. I'll just maybe put it over here. It's going to be even nicer. No, because it's open. Whatever. Okay. So let me do it like this. And then I'm going to launch it again, the trace that I've got. So this is the tiny trace that I've got. And then I will need to specify the tiny file parameter that I will be exporting these documents over here. So here, we do have a little bit more documents right now exported. And these are the SOAP responses. It's actually pretty cool because it's a pretty big deep dive. And these documents, I will sort it by size. Every time we could interpret what is going on within the SOAP session, we decode it. So within this, let's say, argument, what we can find out, it's the full code of Mimikatz that was originally base64 that is executed in the memory. Things never touch the drive. If you go to the very bottom, this tiny string, these were also the commands that we were executing. And if you compare the string itself, this string over here, it is exactly what we are streaming to the machine within the Mimikatz code over here. So just a tiny, tiny thing. Okay. Interesting, guys? Yay. Okay, now it's time for some cool stuff. Not that this wasn't cool, but, you know, maybe got some things that are cooler. Okay, guys, so the next thing that I would like to show you, it's something that we've got, and I will do it also using Mimikatz. Something that it's called, and maybe you like chocolate. You like chocolate? Willy Wonka's golden ticket. So, to do that tiny demo, I will need to launch two machines. First of all, in my case, it's going to be the domain controller that I've got. So it's just a machine with a share on it. So I can enter the share over here. And there is basically the share that is named share. And the second machine that I need is the client. And that tiny client is the member of the domain. And I'm going to log on to this client as a domain user. There's going to be an administrator. The reason why it's going to be an administrator, because we need to steal these guys' tickets from the memory. There is a tiny problem going on. Of course, as we already know, after gazillions of hours talking about pasty hash and all that stuff, privileged account should never log on to the user's workstation, like a domain privileged account. Because, of course, there is this thing that can happen, that we've got to hash and so on. The problem with the Kerberos tickets that I'm grabbing right now is that they are in the memory even if we log off. So if administrator logs off, the things will be still within the memory. First of all, what I will do, I will go over here and go to the share. I'm not going to log on as a domain account. I can go, of course, to the share, and that's not a big deal. Yes, it's normal. So I'm just here, got something, some documents, something private. I got some tools, bat.exe, don't click, why not? Okay, file to DNS, whatever, some tools we've got running. Okay, so this is basically this. What I will do, I will take, of course, here, the privilege to sign out. And right now, I'm going to log on as Paula. Paula. As the local account. And that tiny girl over here, Paula is a local administrator. I need to be a local administrator to do what I'm going to show you, of course. I'm going to check out using list command if I do have any Kerberos tickets within the memory, and I do not have. What's more, I'm going to do dir ws2012 dc share to check out if I can get access to it. And I cannot. I mean, not a surprise, I'm not a local account, correct? Very good. So what I will do, again, run as administrator. I'm going to use the Mimikatz. So let me go to the Kiwi and 64. Very good. To dump the passwords, to dump the Kerberos tickets from the memory and then assign them to myself. So just a tiny case. So first of all, I need to, of course, launch Mimikatz. Then I need to grab a debug privilege so that I'm able to get access to the certain places within the memory. Privilege debug. And then, of course, I will need to export the tickets that are in the memory. Secur LSA. And then tickets. Tickets. Okay, export. Very good. And within this, sorry for the view, I will check out if there is an administrator's ticket somewhere in the memory. And there is. Yes? So what I can do, I can, for example, be nice and not to take the ticket, the general, the Kirby TGT ticket, but the SIFS ticket, only the one that I got within the file sharing. So let's be nice. Of course, I can take the other one, yes? But let's take the smallest one that we've got. I'm going to just copy this one, and then I'm going to type the rest. So then, what I will do, I'm going to take this ticket, Kerberos, PTT, and I'm going to assign it to myself, so secure.tech.kirby, and then it's submitted for the current session. I can check out if I do have any tickets available, and I do. It's a ticket of the domain administrator. Here, I got, of course, it's valid for 10 hours. I can make it valid for as much as I want. If I, and this is unfortunate, I do have a hash of the Kirby TJT account. And of course, I don't want to show, I mean, the reason why I'm not moving further is very simple. It's like how much art in the art we can make. If you're a domain admin, what else you can do? You can set up the wallpaper with a flower on the main controller. Yeah! It's the same. We are in already. And if then if administrator changes his password, loser, we don't have a ticket. So, question is, can I list the shares? And of course I can, being a local account. So what is the lesson learned? Very simple. Do not log on as a, of course, domain admin within the workstation. Domain admin is super duper over-advertised. Domain, that's the name is at the beginning. It means it's for managing the domain operations, domain controllers. What makes DNS administrator worse? It's the same type of approach, but we are so used to domain accounts because it can access everywhere. That's why we treat it as a god, and we sometimes overuse it. Who is managing workstation and who should be managing workstation? It's not the domain administrator, but the local administrator. And if you are wondering how we are able to protect from that, first of all, introduce a good habit. I'm not saying you are not, but just a small reminder, because statistically, what I see, what is going on at the customer side, it's usually, unfortunately, that these habits, it's enough that in one place is missing, and someone can get access to it. And user being a local administrator, it's not very uncommon scenario. Sorry. It doesn't sound popular, I know. It's like, well, local administrator, yeah, of course. And if you're a local admin, then nothing is. Of course, you can do everything. Yeah, but that's what I see. Sorry. Okay, guys. So, what we were talking about. We're talking about the simple fact that whatever runs, it's in a memory. Please remember that. Whatever you launch, whatever you open, it's going to be there. If you share your memory dump with someone, this person will know everything. I showed you the password. You see, the password was like this. within all of the other things. The data is going to be there. Your document is going to be there. If you do have a Word document open, that data is going to be there, and so on and so on. If you will have time, spend some time on doing the memory analysis. Small, careful action, okay? The reason why I'm saying this is because all of the tools that we've got, most of the tools are A, free. Volatility, check this out. Not necessarily Python. I know Python doesn't sound encouraging, but only that it's executable. Make a memory dump. It's easy, you see? And analyze it. Use the commands. See what is inside. And then dig in. Because memory analysis, it's a very, very cool subject that has no end. And remember the friends that I showed, that I talked about at the beginning with this girl and cheating and so on? Luckily, he had not any more bad experiences, but he's still searching. So if there are any nice girls around, no, I'm just kidding. He's still searching. And my conclusion, when I look at his story, is that searching is a good thing because it ends up probably with some positive ending. So thank you so much. I hope there was an interesting session.